Last practice before A-Day. Let's get it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
What's up? We're back at it. Second time today. A little live action. Another post-practice scrimmage. Not scrimmage. Just post-practice update. A little intel from what we saw today. Some really good – I think there's some really good talking material. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's sometimes you go out there and you don't see much. I think there's a lot of stuff that we can glean from today. This very, very interesting and worth talking about is, again, this is the last practice, the last cleanup before you head to A-Day on Saturday. So I was on offense today. Zach was on defense. So I'm going to go through my offensive notes first and then kind of make my way to the defensive side. And I want to start with, I don't know if this is necessarily intel, because there's a lot of videos and things out there of clinics that Golish, you know, has done, and it's a lot to do with how his offense functions. But there's one key piece about his offense that I suspected, but I kind of got a little bit of confirmation on today as far as wide receivers go. So in this offense, in order to go fast, okay, in order to have tempo, what they do is the guy that's on the left outside wide receiver and the right outside wide receiver are always the left outside wide receiver and the right outside wide receiver. They're not interchangeable. Okay. So like Keyshawn Singleton's your starting guy on the right side. Jeremiah Koger is your starting guy on the left side. And they're always going to line up on the outside in those specific positions. Okay. So as you go forward, there may be trips to one side, but the left guy is going to stay the same and the right guy is going to stay the same. And there could be trips to the other side. Those guys stay the same. All right. So your tight ends, your slots, those guys can be moved on both sides of the formation, but the outside guys are pretty much the same, okay? Now, I say all that to say I saw something today that was interesting, and I think it kind of confirms a lot of the stuff we've been hearing about Brian Williams Jr., okay? On your right side, Brian Williams Jr. is the backup behind Keyshawn Singleton, even ahead of Duke Smith. Okay, so that's on your right side. And I think that's noteworthy that when you're talking about working out a depth chart. Now, I'm sure that there's going to be times where, you know, Singleton may come off the field and they may throw Nimrod out there. But if Nimrod's in the slot and they have to go to a backup on that right side, it really feels like that Brian Williams Jr. is going to be that guy. And then on the other side, it was Pettigrew was the second guy behind Koger. So I think that's interesting. Y'all may not think so, but as far as the way this offense goes, like, don't ever expect very often for Keyshawn Singleton to go from the right side to the left side and then vice versa, Koger go from the left side to the right side. So we saw a couple of drills where they would go line up in like a traditional formation with the quarterbacks throwing to like all your skill guys. Okay. So I said it earlier on Zach's, you know, post practice, you know, show, but if you go left to right, it's going to be pretty much this is what you're going to see every single time. It's Koger on the left. Jake Johnson is your tight end in the slot. Nimrod is your slot on the right. And then Singleton is your outside on the right. So that seems to be the most steady rotation of just about any position group across the board. Like any position group on the team, those four guys have been consistently the first groups to go out. They're the first ones in the scrimmages that we hear about after the fact. And then in practice, when you get to see it, they're the first ones as well. Make sure you get your questions in. That way, when we get done with this, I can run back through and hit those as we get finished. So before they went to – okay, by the way, hold on, let me go back. So that's the first group. Koger, Jake Johnson, Nimrod, Singleton. Okay, it looks like your second group is Pettigrew, and then Artis Boardingham, Deshaun Spencer, which is interesting, and then Brian Williams Jr. That's your second rotation. So on that right side, you got two true freshmen, which that's really cool. And then the third rotation was Brady Marchese, Jonathan Echols, Bryce Kane, and then Duke Smith. So that was your three deep when they go four wide with a tight end on the left. Before they went to that, though, they were doing individual drills. And I talked about this earlier, but the way The way Keyshawn Singleton does things is very, very impressive athletically. The way he can make cuts, the way he comes in and out of his breaks. They were doing like a hard right angle, like a hard out, okay? And Keyshawn can bend and turn on a dime without having to pat it down, without having the jab step. He loses no motion. There's nothing that slows him down. So it's like he's going full speed straight ahead, and then immediately he can go full speed on an outbreaking route, which is going to make him really, really tough, really, really tough to cover, especially in space. Like when you got a guy maybe playing off of you a little bit, it's going to be really, really tough to cover this guy. I mean, when Golish talked about consistency and he talks about players being consistent every single day at practice, he mentioned Keyshawn. He mentioned Keyshawn in the same breath that he mentioned Elijah Melendez. So really cool to see, obviously, that in action was him and that those just physically, you guys are going to be so impressed that are going to be there for A-Day. You're going to be so impressed when you see this guy in person. He's good looking as far as a wide receiver goes. He's big. Big, too, and moves really, really well for a big guy. Let's see here. We got I talked about this on Zach's show, so if you missed it or have any questions about it, there was a point in that drill where Bryce Kane dropped a pass. And it was one of those – if you ever played catch or anything, you know, baseball or football, and you get a ball on you really hot and it's kind of up in your face, and it's kind of hard to kind of get up there and get to it. It wasn't over his head, but it was like kind of maybe like in his face a little bit, and it kind of popped off of his hands, okay? And I didn't really think anything about it at the time, but I look over, and the wide receivers are like huddling, waiting for the next guy to go, and I see Byram, and again, this just speaks to leadership and everything like that. I see Byram come over to the wide receiver group and go straight to Bryce Kane, and I can't 1,000% confirm this, okay? I'm just going based off of what their hands were doing and what it looked like they were discussing. And it looked like Byram was acknowledging that pass was too high. And he was like, I'm going to get it down. Like, I'm going to get it down for you on the next go round. Basically confirming, hey, we want it right here, you know, kind of more in your chest, like below your eyes. That's kind of where we want it. Yeah, we're good. And then he ran back and went through a drill. I think that was the coolest part. That may be the coolest part of the whole spring for me. Most guys, like, that's attention to detail. That rep, in the whole grand scheme of everything, did that rep really matter that much? Probably not. But, like, what if they're run that play at A-Day and Bryce is out there? That may be something that triggers and Bryce Kane's out there, that may trigger something in Byram's head. Hey, before I release this ball, I got to make sure I get it down a little bit. I can go hot. I can still zip it in there, but I just don't need to zip it. I need to zip it down more towards the chest. That's where Bryce likes it. That kind of stuff I just feel like has been missing. That's the kind of camaraderie. That's the kind of leadership that's just been missing. Little things like that. When you're at these practices, and I am so thankful for like every single minute that we get, but a lot of it is repetitive. So it's hard to gather a lot of new stuff to talk about. So you really lock into things that are just different because it's the same thing every single time. The things that are different really stand out. All right. That to me was a moment of practice that I will remember, and it's something I'm filing in the back of my head that I'm going to be thinking about when you're watching A-Day, when you're watching games next year. That relationship, I think, is invaluable between Byram and those receivers. I mentioned that Bryce dropped the pass. Deshaun Spencer made a really effortless one-handed catch. It was kind of one of those where he was running a very shallow corner route and the ball was behind him, and he just kind of adjusted his body, one-handed catch, tucked it with one hand, and it was very nonchalant. It was almost like, I do this all the time. It's no big deal. So that really caught my eye. He's in that second group at slot. And Golish said on Tuesday after the scrimmage that he feels like Spencer can help us this year. I can see that. I can easily see that. So when you're talking about offensive line, there was not a ton as far as offensive line goes that really stood out. Probably the biggest news is that, Wilson Zaire, I think, went down. Honestly, from what I understand, shortly after our viewing period on Thursday, went down with an ankle injury. Had to kind of help him off the field. He didn't scrimmage on Tuesday. He was back out fully dressed. So he had pads on. He had a helmet on. He was fully dressed. He wasn't going 100% in the drills. Like, he wasn't going full speed. At times when they were going through things, he was working off to the side with coaches. But that's a good sign. That's not anything serious, because a lot of times if it's a little bit more serious, they'll throttle you down and they'll put you on the indoor, and they'll have you start working back and recovering. That's not the case with him, I don't think. So how much do we see of him in spring? I don't know. That'll be fun to watch. Ty Buster's in there in his stead while he's out. So I think you got some pretty capable guys no matter what, if you do have to sit him. So no big deal there. Good that he's not, I guess, more hurt than maybe we initially thought. Again, as far as the rest of the offensive line, pretty chalk. So want to switch gears over to the defense. And I think this is the breaking news. Like, to me, this is the biggest story of the day. Okay. Champ Anthony is back. Okay. Champ Anthony's back as a full participant in practice. At least in what we saw. He has not been up until this point. He dresses out, and when everyone breaks to go outside, he's on the indoor. He's in the indoor working around, and he's actually back out going through the drills, going through position groups, indie drills, things like that. He's back out there. And I think that is huge news, because we've already talked about how great and how deep we feel like this safety room is. You just throw another guy in there that we know can play. And he's sort of the elder statesman as well. So that's only going to help as far as the leadership goes. And, man, I saw him after practice. He had his helmet off. Dude's just smiling. He's so happy to be back. Like, he's so – that kid loves football. That guy loves football. And you could tell he was elated to finally be back in practice. So – It's towards the end now, so I don't know what kind of role or how big of a role he'll actually have for a day, but at least for this practice, he's back, and I think by the time summer rolls around, he'll be going full speed with all those DBs. So really, really, really cool stuff to see him back. As far as the rest of the defense goes, it feels like the story maybe of spring is the emergence of Gavin Jenkins. The very young defensive back that followed, I would say the most unsung addition? Would you say the addition that was talked about the least? I think that's probably pretty fair. I think Gavin Jenkins, probably of all the South Florida guys that came over, probably talked about the least. And it looks like he's going to be your starting corner opposite of Andre Jordan Jr. Now, I don't think anything's settled, and I don't think anything's final. Rayshon Pleasant's a dog, okay? He was out there. He was fully dressed, but Gavin Jenkins goes out first. It is what it is. It's been that way multiple times. So we'll see Saturday, if that's the case. But at worst, he's positioned himself, being one of the least heralded signees, he's positioned himself to take up and win that position. And he's got a lot of football left to play. He's got a lot of loyalty. That could be like winning the lottery if a kid like him can be an SEC corner. Probably got him at a little bit of an NIL discount for now. I mean, it could be big for everybody if that guy is who we think he is going to be so far. Your safeties and your nickel, Eric Winters, Anquan Fagans, which Anquan Fagans has been all over the place, man. He's playing. I already talked about this before, but he's obviously moonlighting a little bit, dropping down at nickel, and then he's even taken some snaps over in the corner room. So he's just so good. They're going to find him a place to play. And then Sylvester Smith was still out today, so Jacoby Matthews was one of the starting guys in that group when you're talking about safeties and nickels. And then your front four were Jared Smith, and in this particular drill, St. Ferrier, Cody Sigler, and Deshaun Womack. My show this morning was about Jared Smith and Golish saying, I hope I don't regret this by saying how much of a big step he's taken and how important that is and what kind of impact that's going to have if that's the case. Not a ton else that really, really jumps out as far as the defensive side goes. I think Wayne Henry got some praise today. Zach really liked what he saw out of him. I think he got a lot of good rep, Wayne, like a lot of good praise on several reps that he took. Another young guy that's got a lot of promise. So I think what I'll do now is I'll go ahead and jump into some of the questions and comments. This is a good one, and this is not related to the spring. What's the deal with recruiting? We lost another one to Kentucky, of all places. So remember how I've been talking about how great the hype is. I've been talking about how great all the visitors are. Been talking about how it's awesome how much effort they are putting into getting kids here. But I have mentioned the closing part of it, getting commitments, I'm a little bit concerned about. I mean, I'm just gonna go ahead and say it because we lived this last year. Okay. Now, it is April 16th. A-Day is usually a big visit day, so there's probably going to be a lot of really big visitors. And again, you're still in the conversation with a lot of these top guys. And we lost a tight end today, Tank Proctor. Auburn's getting a lot of love with some other tight end targets. You know, George Lamons, who's a high four-star guy. So could it be that Auburn maybe just has some better targets in their sights? That very well could be the case. The problem, not the problem, but the thing is, you got to land them. Yeah, you may like George Lamons more than you like Tank Proctor, but you ain't got George Lamons yet. So you got to close it. And I'm not saying it can't be done, and I'm not saying it won't be done. I'm just saying I'm a little concerned at the pace right now. And I'm just going to leave it at that. They're new to the SEC. There is a ton of work that has to be done in a very short amount of time to catch yourself up with the 2027 class. You've been flooded with visitors. Try to figure out who all you really like, who all you want to push for commits for. So I'm a little concerned, but like I do understand the arguments as to why. Okay. So as far as Tank flipping to Kentucky, yeah, it hurts. There may be some bigger fish that they're trying to land. You just got to go do it. If you're going to let a guy walk, or you're not going to put up a huge fight to keep a guy, you know, you got to make sure you get a replacement. So let's see. And yeah, I see Daniel Moultrie saying aiming for higher targets regarding tight end. That's totally fine. Daniel Mulcher also says, Omar is going to be our next stud running back, planting my flag now. I think that's a pretty safe bet. The dude is a warrior. He was asked today, we got him in post-practice interviews, and they asked him, what is your biggest improvement this year? What have you improved the most on this year? And he immediately, like without even thinking, said pass protection. I take pride in that. I've really worked on my pass pro, and that's how you get on the field. You got to be able to pass. It's not just hand me the ball and let me run. I got to be able to protect too. And to me, that's like one of the hardest things for a young guy to learn how to do. And he feels like that's one of the best parts of his game. And Golish mentioned it too. He felt like he's the best running back as far as pass protection goes. So really, really good stuff. I see a lot of just be patient on the recruiting side, even though we only have one commit. Chaz looks like he's going to be great this year. He is one that it's always been at the top of the conversation as far as who can have one of those breakout years, big years. So he's so fast. It's funny because, and this is not a knock by any means, and you'll see it. You'll understand what I'm saying if you watch stuff like this. There are guys that are just so smooth in everything they do. Like they're just like mega athletes, okay? And I would even say Anthony Schwartz was this way a little bit to me. They move so fast, but they're not quite as like smooth as like a track star runner. They like I don't really know the best way to describe it. Like he moves so fast, but it doesn't look like he's going that fast because of the way he runs, which is fine. Like I don't care how you get from point A to point B. Schwartz was that way to me, where it didn't. I know he was a track star in high school, but for whatever reason, it was like it was kind of boxy. And it looks boxy, but it's not. The dude can flat out fly. He can flat out get in and out of breaks, but it just looks kind of unorthodox. You'll see what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter how you do it. He's still going to have a big year to me. And I think everybody's excited for him for all the right reasons. My question is, after A-Day, are the next practices fall camp? The next coach led full team practices, yes, will be fall camp, which usually starts around the end of July, beginning of August. So you're going to have, SEC Media Day somewhere around the 20th of July, somewhere around that date. And then probably the following week or whatever, fall camp will start. And that'll be the first time since spring that you'll have full team practices. Now, there's some new rules around how much work a coach can actually do with players in the off season. You get so many hours a week in the off season, so I do imagine there'll be a lot of that. They won't be able to have like offense on defense type practices, but a lot of just kind of behind the scenes quarterback, wide receivers, workouts, offensive line, stuff like that. Any news on Joe Phillips? Wait, there was a note on him. Hold on one second. Let me find it. Or that could have been in sprint, the scrimmage. I think he made a couple of plays in the scrimmage on Tuesday. No, I don't have a note about him. I know he made a couple of plays in the scrimmage, a couple of tackles, maybe one tackle for loss. If you had to go with edge right now, it feels like it's Jared Smith, J.J. Falk, and then Joe Phillips at the stand-up side. Now, there could be, and then Wilkes is right there on, biting at their heels. Bryce Kane has to have something else going on. He should be seeing playing time. How athletic is he? Is he just inconsistent? I don't think it's any of that. I saw someone a little bit later is going to ask about special teams. I think Bryce is probably going to be one of the punt returners. I think Christian Neptune thought he might be the first guy out there, but he's hurt now. So you may see Bryce returning punts. Bryce returning punts on Saturday. Now, I did notice he's on the third rotation when they go four wide. He's on the third rotation in the slot behind Deshaun Spencer and Chaz Nimrod. But I don't know. I don't know that there's an answer there because they brag on him a lot. It may just be that group's just really good. Let's see. Let's keep going. Got a good feeling about this team this season. Let's see. Let's keep going. I hope some starters not practicing isn't a good thing. Okay. Yeah. They do have some starters out. None of it's serious. There's no injury right now that I think are super, super serious. All of it's mostly precautionary. Somebody says, do you see what happened to Morris Williams? I know, man. That's just awful. Awful. Hate to see that. Hate to see any kid lose like a whole season. Let's see. There you go. Who you think – there it was. Who do you think will do kick returns? Don't know about kick returns. There's a couple of guys at punt, though. Bryce Kane being one, Christian Neptune, et cetera, et cetera. The big question here is who's the scramble team tonight? So that is that must be somebody that I know personally, because Thursday nights are the Thursday night scrambles at the club that I'm a member of. I actually got I got coach pitch practice tonight, so I got a few more weeks of coach pitch practice before I'll be hitting up those Thursday night scrambles. That looks like just about it. Again, not a ton of just major breaking news. I feel like Champ Anthony being back is a big deal. Gavin Jenkins, great storyline there. He could be taken out. He could be taken over there as far as the other corner, and then you got on the offensive side. We talked about Brian Williams Jr. possibly being that number two guy right behind Keyshawn Singleton. So a lot of good stuff, and we are looking forward to A-Day. Don't forget to come to the tailgate. I want you guys to come by the tailgate. We're going to be on the campus green, which is on the side of the stadium opposite of Neville Arena. So just go, if you're on the west side of the stadium and Neville Arena is over there, just go to the opposite side, over by the student center. There's not going to be a ton of tents. We should be pretty easy to find. So come stop by. We're going to be there around 11. I think the gates open shortly after that. We're going to hang out until closer to the game, which is around 2 o'clock. I'll go up to the press box and then we'll come back out for a little bit after. So make sure you come say hello. I appreciate it, guys. Thank y'all. Have a great rest of your day and get pumped for A-Day.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.